Why would I make them so uncomfortable?
It probably has to do with your reputation. They feel your methods, your theories are...
spooky? Do you think I'm spooky?
His face was so blank and expressionless. He didn't even seem human.
I'm not turning my back on anyone!
Have you ever found a metal implant in your body? Have you checked everywhere?
Mulder, you have to understand!
Put it down!
You put it down first!
Scully!
Hello, world!
Oh, shit!
Welcome.
Hello!
Welcome to Fox Mulder is a Maniac!
Smim!
Woo! Fox Mulder!
I'm gonna stop making noises.
Noises.
There's show about wrong. The X-Files.
Jeez. I'm one of your hosts, David Bell.
Oh, I am a second host, Tom Ryman.
And folks, this is a free episode.
You bet your bottom dollar it is.
Yeah, and you know, I'm just going to say at the top of this, if you're interested in more episodes, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. This is normally an exclusive podcast for our patrons.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're new to this show, myself and Tom have been rewatching The X-Files for quite some time now.
Yeah.
And we're just sort of to assess the fact that Fox Mulder is not, you know, he's not a very good FBI agent, and in fact,
he might
should
in
be
fact
in jail.
Be the worst.
He might in fact be the worst.
Yes.
We chose this as a free episode because we're up to season 4, episode 10,
mm-hmm.
and this is known as Paper Hearts.
Yeah.
This isn't a particularly iconic episode of The X-Files.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I think people don't know this offhand. I think the most iconic episode of The X-Files, to the X-Files like layman, to the people who do not religiously watch this show, I think the episodes people think about are like, you know, the
Squeeze.
Fluke Monster or Squeeze, yeah. Or like, you know, some of the mythology episodes perhaps. But Paper Hearts is actually, I think, an unusual plot line for The X-Files, because there's not much of an X-Files in it. In fact,
I would argue that there's zero X-File in it.
Yeah. I would argue that the supernatural element, which we'll get to, is shoehorned in, because this episode's about Fox Mulder, our hero,
mm-hmm.
having a series of dreams that's leading him to the bodies of the victims of a serial killer that he helped put away.
Yes.
And he basically goes to the serial killer, John LaRoche, and visits him in prison and slowly suspects the man of having killed his sister.
John LaRoche. John LaRoche.
LaRoche, whatever.
You decided to make him French for some reason.
Yeah, well, that's, you know. He's played, by the way, by Tom Noonan, otherwise known as the Ripper mm-hmm. in Last Action Hero.
And then probably Frankenstein in the Monster Squad.
Sure, yeah. He's one of those, you'd know him if you saw him.
Yeah, he's the creepy-ass dad in House of the Devil.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah,
he's also in Anomalisa. He's in a few Spike Jones or Charlie Kaufman films.
Yeah.
He's in RoboCop 2 for all
he
you
is.
RoboCop
he's,
2
he's
fans.
The bad guy in RoboCop 2.
Yeah. He's in The Astronaut's Wife for all you Astronaut's Wife fans. Mm-hmm. He's in a lot of stuff.
Yeah. He's an accomplished character actor. And
yes.
He's also a fucking giant.
Is he?
Yeah, he's like 6'5".
Oh, he is tall. Next to David Duchovny,
Did you not notice in the basketball scene how massive he was?
Well, let's talk about that, because we normally at the top of the episode, we talk about the episode, what it means to us. Tom, you argued that this was a memorable episode, right?
This is one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah, it's one I definitely remember, mostly because of Mulder's behavior in it.
I always
remember the dream sequences, the
Mad Hat.
Yep. This was written, by the way, by Vince Gilligan.
Yes, it
of
was.
Breaking Bad fame, who started out in The X-Files. Directed by Rob Bowman, who is a regular director on The X-Files.
They're both fair. Like, Vince Gilligan wrote, probably 40 episodes, something like that. He wrote a lot of The X-Files.
Yeah, including Drive, which is the episode with Bryan Cranston.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently that episode got Vince Gilligan to want to work with Cranston.
Mm-hmm.
It was Vince Gilligan, thought up the, apparently he had worked with laser holograms as a film student, and so wanted to use the laser lights from the dreams. He had sort of, like, debated the, how Roche was gonna, like, what mark he was gonna leave on his victims, and he considered having him mutilate the victims and thought that was too far, so he did the heart-shaped fragments. The idea behind the title Paper Hearts is that this killer cuts out a heart shape of the pajamas of these little girls that he's killed.
Mm-hmm.
It's very dark.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's the basketball scene, which involved, of course, David Duchovny, who played basketball for Princeton,
mm-hmm.
showing off his skills a little bit.
This was a hell of a sentence in the making of, because it's like they asked Tom Noonan, who's apparently just like a fucking killer ass basketball player, to downplay his skill.
Right.
And they mention this in the same sentence as mentioning that David Duchovny played basketball for Princeton. Oh, yeah. That's a lot throw at me at once.
Yeah, I knew Duchovny liked basketball because Mulder likes basketball.
Yeah.
And you see him play it a few times. I think about in the episode, I want to say Small Potatoes. That's the one with the guy who can look like anybody. Yeah, yeah. When he assumes Mulder's identity, he like can't play basketball. So they have a scene where David Duchovny is bad at basketball.
Mm.
Really, you know, flexing his acting muscles.
Yeah.
But yeah, this, I don't know, to fans of the show, I'm sure this is an iconic episode because it deals with what happened to Mulder's sister, Samantha Mulder.
Mm-hmm.
And it never conclusively says whether or not she was killed by Roche. Of course, later in the series, we're going to find out more about this.
Right,
about Samantha's fate.
Yeah, Samantha, I mean, spoilers, she was taken by the government, I believe.
She was...
the shadow government? So she's taken by the government to use for the colonization program, right?
Yeah, she also absolutely, I believe, was killed. It's a really weird situation. There's a later episode that states that she was kidnapped and then like returned and then kidnapped again.
Right,
it's
like
something
like
really weird.
It's some bonkers thing. Like there's like some alien, some like spiritual alien that like puts suffering people to rest or something like it's like yep. something like that.
The Walk-ins, that's what it is. They turned her into
really,
Starlight.
Yeah.
It's
really bizarre.
It's like, really fucking bizarre.
Yeah.
But in that time she was cloned and I don't know. I remember that was almost the jump the shark moment of the series where when they were like, and that's what happened to Samantha. I remember watching it for the first time and thinking like, so there, this is on its way out. This series is on its way out.
Right, because that the ultimate explanation for what happened to Samantha is such unsatisfying gibberish.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we already know she was taken by the shadow government and cloned so that her clones could be used in the colonization hybrid process to bring the aliens in. We really didn't need more than that.
No.
Like, we would have accepted that, yeah, the government kidnapped her, cloned her, and then, you know, just killed her because they can't have her running around after that.
The episode is called Closure. It's season 7. And season 7 is, in a way, one of my favorite seasons because of how little they give a shit. Closure happens right before, for context,
isn't
X-Cops.
That first I was going to say, isn't that also the season where they do first-person shooter?
Well, here's the lineup. Closure. And then X-Cops, the one that's an episode of Cops.
I actually kind of like X-Cops.
I like X-Cops, too. Because the villain is basically Pennywise.
It's Pennywise, yeah.
Yeah. And then first person shooter.
Oh my God.
That's the one, the video game one. It's a hell of a. It also has the amazing Mulaney episode.
Oh, where he fights just a magician.
When he fights a magician and there's no X-File.
Not a wizard, a magician.
This is also the episode with the Goldberg variation, which features Shia LaBeouf as a child. It's it's the season with Hollywood AD, the one where they make an X-Files movie. Yeah,
and Tay Leone's in it.
Yeah, it's the one with Fight Club, the one about doppelgangers fighting each other. Rush, the one about teenagers who go super fast. Hungry, the one about the fast food employee who eats brains. That's from his perspective.
One. That's a good one.
It's a fuck of a season.
But like so much that like oh my God.
Absolutely bonkers season.
It's really fucking out of control.
Well, it's the season that they clearly were like we're not going to have any more after this, are we?
Well, they knew Duchovny was leaving.
Yeah, and so they're like, let's get it all out. And then,
but they do two more seasons after that.
Two more. I'm going to go ahead and say the eighth season doesn't count. I think that's the Robert Patrick season,
that's the
right?
Doggett season, That's the Doggett
season. I love Robert Patrick. I love him. But,
And then they phased Gillian Anderson out and brought in Annabeth Gish.
Yep. And it was a real mess. There's a couple good episodes in that season. I believe that's the season with Monday, the one with Miles Dyson reliving.
Yes.
Backwards, time backwards.
I think that's the best Doggett episode.
Yeah, that's also the Year of the Lone Gunman spinoff. And then we get to season 9 where it all sort of, they
really cram a bunch of shit in the season 9.
Yes.
The spoilers, the lone gunmen get gassed to death.
Yeah, spoilers. They stick I would argue they stick the landing. But it's rough. There's an episode in it called Jump the Shark. I believe that's the episode where the lone gunmen die.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a big mess. Anyway, I don't know why we're talking about this. We're here to talk about Paper Hearts. Yeah,
we're here to talk about Paper Hearts, baby.
And so I guess we should get into it. Our first section is called World's Luckiest Detective, and it's all the times in which Agent Mulder completely lucks into finding the killer or the evidence. Because we've noticed that he does that a lot. He is not a great detective.
No. It's usually flashes of either stumbling ass first into the right answer, making a wild, impossible guess that happens to be correct because he's Mulder and it's the X-Files.
Right.
Or someone just flat out telling him the answer.
Or in this case... Dreams.
In this case, I won't say that yet. We'll save that for Mulder After Dark.
But this is this. He does no detective work in this. He follows a laser pointer like a cat.
Okay. Yeah, I was trying to save that for Mulder After Dark.
Okay. No. I mean, that's part of his detective work.
Right. He has dreams. He has laser dreams.
Yeah. They're not even. Here's the funny thing. It's so handed to him that even his dreams don't have to be interpreted in any way.
Right. His dream like shows him a sign of like the city and state where he's supposed to go.
Yeah. It's giving him every fucking detail he could possibly need. Yeah. It's literally a PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah.
Laser pointer pointing at what he needs to know.
Mulder's subconscious knows to prepare slides for him.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, go here to Manassas Park.
Go right here. Look in his car. No, not that part of the car. Look in this part of the car. And go to this park, find this tree, and there'll be a dead kid under it.
Mm-hmm.
It's... I don't know what else to say for this section. Dreams.
He has dreams, and then Tom Noonan flat out tells them where another body is.
Right. He doesn't have to do anything. He has one detective moment.
And that's when he notices the trolley car sagging.
I guess that. And where he tricks Tom Noonan.
He does, yeah.
He does. He plays a real Sherlock Holmes trick on him by bringing him to the wrong house and then making him reenact his sister's abduction and then being like, "I got you, motherfucker."
Yeah. He literally is like, "It's the wrong house, you stupid son of a bitch."
Yeah. Unfortunately, I mean, we'll get to it, but Tom Noonan has already won at this moment. Yes.
He is already victorious.
Mulder now, calling him a stupid son of a bitch is
Hardly cares. He's like, "It's geography, man. It's just geography. We're talking 25 years ago."
Yeah.
Before we move on, real quick, technically should have talked about this before. They never ultimately explain what Roche's role was or how he knows all of these details about the night Samantha disappeared.
It's a nexus, Tom.
Sure. But I don't actually believe that's true.
Like, here's the thing.
Even within the X-Files.
Here's what I always assumed it was, to the point that I was shocked that it wasn't included. Because Scully notes that he has the internet, which, that seems... It would be like supervised internet time, I assume. But Mulder has been repeatedly hypnotized to recall his sister's abduction.
Yeah, that's true. And there's video, audio tapes of it.
Yes, there's audio tapes. And then I think about the lone gunmen who would absolutely publish transcripts of those sessions, you know? And like, I imagine the lone gunman has a like an online version of their zine. I could see Roche doing enough work to figure it out.
Yeah.
I think the episode wants us to think there is a psychic link between Mulder and Roche, which I do not believe.
No, I don't even think that's. I don't know if I. Yeah, I don't know if that's even what the episode thinks. It's something Mulder fires out of his ass randomly. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, I think it is ambiguous. I think the idea is it Mulder's instincts? Is he so? Because Scully keeps saying, like, you know, it's like you said, Mulder, dreams are answers to questions we haven't asked.
Yeah.
And the idea is that these two people are in each other's head so much that they just know what the other's thinking. Because that doesn't explain Roche knowing the details.
Right.
But he says it too, like, you know, I think that we might have a connection. And I think that's whether or not it's supposed to be supernatural, that's part of it. It's weird that we've never heard of this guy before.
Yeah.
If Mulder's obsessed with him, but I think that's the idea. And then it's ambiguous whether or not there's any sort of psychic connection. I would argue that there is not.
No, I don't think so. I had come to the conclusion that maybe he was there.
Yes, and like didn't.
Right. Maybe he was there like casing the house like he said he was, and then the fucking government showed up.
He gets the vacuum cleaner right.
Because he did sell his dad a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, he sold his dad a vacuum cleaner.
Like,
I think
all that is true.
Here's the other thing is he might have read it in the news.
That's true, yeah.
He might have just remembered it and then put it together of like, oh, shit, that's Agent Mulder. When Mulder was hunting him the first time around, maybe he looked into Mulder.
That's true. Maybe he did, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways that he could
there's
have
a lot of ways that he could have known
out.
That, yeah. Up to and including maybe he was there. But
yeah, which is why, again, it's kind of why it's a cool episode, because I think what they knew when they wrote it, that it was left like in the air, and it's in it. There's a lot of ways to interpret what happened. Either way, Mulder does everything because a dream tells him.
Yes.
To.
Because a dream tells him Mad Hat.
Yeah. And he's like, it's the camper piece of the car.
It's in the camper.
Let's do this. Tom, do you want to get into the next section?
I cannot wait to get into this section.
All right. Well, everybody, let's settle in.
Mm-hmm. Get out your laser pointers.
Get out your laser pointers.
Put on...
Light some candles.
Yeah, put on a nice silk robe, you know, something that feels good against your skin.
Yeah. And let's Let's sink on in to Mulder After Dark. Oh, fucking like velvet in my ears.
Indeed.
Mm.
So Mulder has a dream in which he chases a laser pointer like a cat into the forest.
Yeah.
And then wakes up from the dream and proceeds to drive from D.C. to Manassas in the middle of the night.
Yeah, of course he does.
That's like a 30-mile trip.
Yep. Yeah, because of a dream.
Because of a and dream he had.
Yeah, and then he finds the place and starts digging in the ground like a dog.
Well, he finds the place.
Oh, no, he starts, he gets that
he calls
later.
A forensics later, team yeah. out there.
Yeah.
On a dream.
On a dream.
And
right.
The lady has to keep calling him sir, and you know she's pissed.
Right.
She's like, I'm out here digging up this tree because you had a dream, sir.
Right. But then he starts using his hands to dig it up. He puts gloves on, and they're like, sir, you're going to destroy evidence. And he's like, I already know what's going to be in there.
Right. He starts destroying the crime scene.
Yeah, if I was that woman that was doing that, and the guy's like, "Oh, I know what's in there. It's they cut the heart." Then I'd be very disturbed by yeah. this man who's like, "I need you to dig right there. I know what's already in there." It's like, did you put her in there?
Yeah, you said you had a dream.
Yeah, he's very obsessive in this. He doesn't care who gets in his way.
No, and two separate times in this episode, he just starts pawing at human remains in the ground yeah. like a fox. I don't know.
Yep. Like a little fox.
Like a little fox.
He
like a crazed dog.
They find this victim, and they go to the victim's father, and he breaks the news to him, and he promises that the man who killed his daughter is in prison and won't get out.
Mm-hmm.
And he breaks that promise pretty quickly.
And personally.
Yeah.
He personally lets Roach out of jail. This is, yeah, we should probably just get to that.
I don't know. We can circle it a little because I have other things. Like, he totally cuts that guy's car seat open
right,
like an asshole.
And Scully gives him a look. Like, they're searching. Roach's car was sold at auction a few years prior, and Mulder's convinced they'll find the paper hearts in there because Roach was a traveling salesman.
Right.
So they track down like this teenager or a super young guy who owns the car now, and he's like detailed it real nice. And Mulder gets inside the car, pulls out a knife, and starts cutting open the seats. And Scully gives him this look. Let me just finish this thought.
Yeah.
Scully gives him a look that I can't decide if she's. If she's horrified that he's cutting into this person's car or that he has a knife.
Yeah, because why? Yeah, he has a knife. That is disturbing. What's he doing with the knife?
I mean, a knife is a tool people have, but I don't think yeah. we've ever seen Mulder whip out a knife before.
No, we haven't. I mean, he has a gun, and that's more distressing.
He has more than one gun.
He does, because he says he gets tired of losing his gun.
Yeah, I'm tired of losing my gun all the time.
Which is the most disturbing reason to have multiple guns.
We've talked about this on prior episodes, but yeah, Mulder has dropped his gun probably 30 times over the course of the series.
Yeah, he probably has like four knives on him, too. I wanted to note that before he starts cutting open this guy's seat, he checks the glove box and under the visors,
right.
the sun visors, as if that's where the paper hearts are going to be. Like as if the guy who bought this car never checked under the visors.
Or in the glove box.
Or in the glove box. He goes, visors, glove box, I'm going to cut open
and
the
seat.
And
then he starts cutting open the seat. Just
fucking
sawing
maniac.
Into it.
Yeah. And he barely, that's the thing, he just starts, he gets, like, he cuts one of the seats, and then doesn't check the others, and then, like, gives up for a second, remembers his dream, mm-hmm. and realizes that it's in the camper, like, the shell.
Yeah.
And starts running around this poor guy's yard after mutilating his car, and just starts, like, searching his backyard. Like a maniac. Just yeah. like it's like the name of the podcast.
Yeah, he's just running all over the place.
Yeah.
Like a suit and tie wearing whirlwind.
Yes. This whole thing, it's another episode that feels very Rampage like. Like he never stops. He falls right. asleep at his desk with his face full of evidence.
He falls asleep like with his eyes open three different times yeah. in this episode.
Yeah.
Like he's wearing the same t-shirt for like the first 15 minutes and mm-hmm. it's over the span of like 18 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he drives to his mom's house and breaks into her basement like yeah. a raccoon and is just rummaging through her shit. And then, she comes downstairs like, Fox?
Like, Fox, because she's
at this point,
at
when
this
someone
point,
breaks
in,
yeah, he has broken into his mom's house, I don't know, four times?
In the
at
middle
this
of
point?
The night. Yeah, every
in
time.
In the middle of the
every
night.
Every time it's in the middle of the night. His and she mom, comes downstairs and he's like, Mom, do you recognize these fabrics? And he just
yeah.
shows her two pieces of evidence he's taken from yep. From the FBI. That are they just,
mom,
they look like nothing. They look like nothing.
They look like nothing.
She's rightfully confused.
And then he hugs her. And then he's like, Dad didn't buy a vacuum, did he? And she's like, yeah, what the fuck is this? And he starts like rummaging for the vacuum and yeah. freaks out. She when she hears like a door bash open in at 2 a.m., unlike the rest of us, she calmly goes downstairs and starts reheating food.
Yeah.
You know, she starts making him a dish.
Right.
Because
she
knows
she starts
it's her
grilling
son.
A cheese.
Yeah. Because she's like, oh, Fox is here.
Yeah.
He smashed my window and unlocked my door.
He's rampaging through the basement like the Tasmanian yeah. devil.
At fucking 3 a.m. or whatever. It's
Mom, did Dad ever buy you a vacuum cleaner?
Like, I can't
I need to
stress
know,
this enough.
Mom.
This actress who plays his mother, we only see her in her nightgown.
Yeah,
like
much.
In for the last like two seasons, like she only shows up in the middle of the night. Like, Fox, what are you doing? If anybody realizes that their son is on meth, it's her.
Yeah, she must know at this point.
Yeah. Because that's the only other person who does this, who breaks into his parents' house at 3 a.m. and starts grabbing shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's classic Mulder. He has a dream about his sister's abduction, and he seems delighted by it.
Kind of, yeah. He's, like, really happy when he walks in.
Because he's, like, happy to see her, and then he's like, no, not again, when she starts getting abducted. And he wakes up screaming her name, and I have to wonder how many times that's happened. And because of his dream, he punches a prisoner who's in custody.
He sure as hell does.
Yeah, on security camera.
On security camera. And at first, it's like, we think it's going to be fine, because the guard's like, well, I didn't see it. And we're like, hell yeah.
Crooked guard.
Prison industrial complex.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Police state. But then Scully immediately walks in with this look on her face, like this like worried and appalled look on her face, like, but I did see it, Mulder. And then they go in to see Skinner, and Skinner's like, what the shit, Mulder? It's on tape.
Yeah. He can use that shit. This isn't the first time Mulder has been aided by corrupt prison guards. Like,
no,
he attacked a guy a couple...
Like an episode or two ago, he's choking a guy in prison.
Yeah, he puts a prisoner in a chokehold. A terrorist prisoner. Yeah, and like the guards are like, I ain't seen nothing. And it's like, are we supposed to be happy about this?
Well, it was even
about
worse.
About the guards like turning the other way?
I think it was even worse in the previous episode because the guard doesn't say anything.
You're right.
He just watches Mulder just assault this guy.
Yeah, he doesn't get involved. Should we talk about it?
I'm trying to think if there's anything else.
All right, I want to talk about Mulder. I wrote down the quote, and this is part of the Rampage part of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
But so Mulder has LaRoche in his custody, and Roche is in a situation where he's handcuffed. Right, Mulder has a gun. Mulder has accosted him, and like I have no sympathy for Roche. Obviously, he's a child killer. But if I were him, I'd be very nervous in this scene. When Mulder brings him to the house and he gets really intense and he gets close to him and he goes, somehow you got inside my dreams.
Yes.
And Roche says, come again?
Yeah, like the look on his face when Mulder starts saying, you invaded my dreams somehow. That's how you know the details of that night, because you saw them through my eyes. Like,
and in the world where he just Googled it, it's like, oh, he must be very scared. Then he says, I profiled you. I got inside your head. Maybe you got inside mine. Maybe some nexus or connection was formed between us. And through that, you got access to my memories of my sister, Samantha, and you used them against me for this. And again, like, this is easily accessible information.
Right, because the thing Roche says immediately after that is, I've heard things about you, Mulder.
Yeah. And, like, if I were Roche, I'd be like, this guy is going to fucking kill me. Right? He's going to execute me. He's going to accuse me of being an alien mutant and shoot me in the face right here and now.
He's not that... He doesn't seem that worried about it, though.
Yeah, he... Like, well,
he's definitely reacting to it because he's making a face, but, like, he's not...
Yeah, he's just like, Jesus.
Like, he's not... Yeah, he's not worried. He's more like, wow.
Yeah. This guy is crazier than me, apparently.
Yeah.
My fucking God. He just accused me of invading his dreams, of incepting him. All right, we should talk about why they're in that situation. Fox Mulder, after being told not to go near this guy or deal with this guy, they're like, take a night. Go think about it. And Mulder sits in his apartment, doesn't have a dream. He's just lying there, right?
Yes.
And then he's just like, you know what? I'm going to break that guy out of prison. And he uses his authority.
Mm-hmm.
Tells nobody.
He has to convince a judge.
Yeah. And he says, I'd like to release this prisoner. And he takes Roche out of prison, puts him on a commercial flight to Martha's Vineyard on a plane with children.
Mm-hmm.
Tells nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And then just like grills him in the wrong house and then lets him go in his sleep.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't fall asleep and Roche escapes. He actually sleepwalks and lets him go.
He lets Roche meet a child on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
He brings him around. He treats him, by the way, better than he treats Krycek, which is just funny to think about. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, Krycek didn't kill, like, 16 kids. But, yeah. And then he has a dream where he unlocks a door to save his sister.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wakes up, and Roche is gone. Mulder's badge and gun are missing, and he's handcuffed to a table. Skinner shows up and goes, you let Roche go? And Mulder says, and I quote, and he says it very calmly, I must have done it in my sleep. I had another dream. If I were Skinner, I would pistol whip Mulder right there. I had another dream, Skinner. It's like, I don't care,
that
Mulder.
That is the extent of his explanation.
I must have done it in my sleep. Fucking fired.
I must have done it in my sleep, comma, I had another dream.
And here's the thing. He hasn't told Skinner about his dreams, has he?
No.
So Skinner's like, what is this? What the fuck are you talking about, Mulder? You are off the deep end. He brings a fucking serial killer on a commercial jet out of state and then lets him go.
Yep.
And guess what he does?
What's the first thing Roche does is kidnap a little girl.
Using Mulder's badge to get access. And he has Mulder's gun. Meanwhile, Mulder has gained no information from this, from bringing Roche out of state.
The only thing he's gained is, because he took him out of state to take him to his dad's house to see if he really was lying. So the only thing he's gained is that he believes Roche is stealing his memories.
Yeah. It's a completely personal, it's not anything, like, you can't, the FBI is not going to be like, well, glad we got that information out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Completely personal reasons, Mulder did all of this.
Yes.
And then
he ends up shooting him in the face.
Yep. In front of a little girl.
In front of a little girl, like close enough to blow her eardrums out.
Yeah. Like a feet away from this child. he shoots this man in the fucking face.
He's also,
and that's it.
Yeah, and Roche is the only person who knows where the 15th and final victim is buried.
Yep.
And he
Mulder
hasn't told
blows
them.
The case.
Yes, Mulder absolutely blows the case.
Because you can argue like, oh, Roche is gonna Roche looks like he might shoot the girl, so Mulder is justified in shooting him. But Roche is only there with the girl because Mulder let him out of custody in mm-hmm. his sleep.
Yes.
Mulder, my fucking God. He changed that little girl's life. She's never going to forget that every time she gets on a bus, she's going to burst into tears because of the time a weird lanky dude shot a guy in the face like 2 feet away from her. It is horrifying.
Yeah. Oh, man. She's going to forever remember the time a gangly scarecrow abducted her and then this weird Martian shot him in the face, like right in front of her.
Yeah, it's absolutely ghastly.
Yeah.
I can't stress this enough that Mulder gained no information and, in fact, loses information, loses their grasp on this case. Because they made headway by, like, learning that there's more victims. So on paper, it's like we learned there were more victims. We were talking to him about it. And then out of nowhere, one of the lead FBI agents on the case took him out of jail without any authorization, without asking anybody, brought him out of state, let him go. He kidnapped a little girl and that same agent shot him in the face.
Yeah.
And that's case closed.
Yeah. That feels like it seems weird to say, but it feels like a form of entrapment.
Yeah. Yeah. He let the killer, he brought him on a plane where he met a child and then let him go.
Yeah.
And he basically gave him his gun and his badge. His defense being, I was sleepwalking.
Yes.
Here's the thing. Mulder could have said he must have overpowered me in my sleep. Also, imagine what Roche went through.
Mulder sleepwalking?
Yeah, Roche's, they show him in the hotel and Roche is handcuffed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those things that when you remember it, you think like, oh, he gets away somehow. He gets out of his handcuff, cold cocks Mulder. You know, like that's the acceptable version of what would have happened.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, Roche is sitting there. He must have got woken up to seeing, Mulder be standing in the room, in Paranormal Activity, yelling Samantha, walking up to the guy's handcuffs, uncuffing him. And I don't know, just standing there while Roche, slowly took Mulder's gun and badge and walked out? Is that what happened?
I guess. I really want to know what Mulder's face looked like during that entire ordeal.
It would just be blank, like a robot that's been turned off.
Just his normal face, then.
Yeah. Or like an anguished cry face that doesn't like, just stare. Like, it must have been horrifying to see.
Yes. A really undignified little, like his face is a little screwed up. Like he's about to cry, but it's not quite coming.
And yes. And again, imagine Roche is a sympathetic character, which he isn't.
No.
And at this point, he's already accused him of mind crimes.
Yes.
And then in the middle of the night, Mulder just gets up and stares at him while standing. And then he I would be certain this man is about to kill me. And then when he doesn't do anything, I would have waited for 5 minutes and maybe just slowly poked his chest and nothing happened. And then slowly remove the gun and badge. I would get the gun first. Again, even if I wasn't a criminal, I'd want to get that gun away from him.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the safety of everyone.
Yeah, just for my well-being.
Yeah. Yeah, and then just seeing I'm gonna go. And then you just slowly leave while Mulder stands there. Absolutely unacceptable, Mulder.
Yeah, this is really out of control.
Not cool.
Yeah.
And then he does, in fact, execute this man at point blank range.
Again, the only, he told them where one body was buried. They just had to keep working with him and kind of doing a little tit for tat until he gave up the location of the last little girl.
He just wanted, this started with him being like, give me my hearts, my paper hearts, and I'll tell you where they were.
Mm-hmm.
And Mulder's like, I'm not going to do that. Instead, he lets him go.
Right. Rather than give him his paper hearts, he lets him out of jail so he can go free and kidnap another little girl.
I'm not going to play your game. Instead, I'm going to put you on a flight.
I'm going to play
and bring you to Massachusetts.
I'm going
to
play an entirely different and infinitely more grotesque game.
Yeah. Just, you should have given him his hearts, man.
Yeah.
They're fabric hearts.
I mean,
God.
I get it. It's ghoulish, but like.
Yes, but you know what's more ghoulish? Letting him loose in Massachusetts.
It's ghoulish, but like, if he's gonna tell you where his last two victims are, then that's kind of more important.
Yeah. Instead, nobody wins. This is a lose-lose all around.
I mean, you could give him the hearts, and then he tells you, and then you take the hearts away from him. You can do that.
Yeah. And imagine being that dad. Who at the beginning met Mulder, and Mulder was like, he's never getting out. And then picking up the newspaper and learning that that agent let him out and then shot him in the face. And being like, huh, I wonder what happened there.
Yeah, I'm not exactly depressed about this turn of events, but that's really unexpected.
But I do have questions.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Like, as soon as Mulder became convinced that his sister might be one of Roche's victims, he should not have been allowed anywhere near this case. Yeah.
That signed his death. Like, Roche implying that he killed his sister is that's suicide.
Yes.
Like, he should have known he was dead at that point.
You don't say that to Mulder. It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter if you're a senator. Doesn't matter if you're safely in a maximum security prison.
Nope.
He is going to kill you.
Yeah. You have fucked up.
And
it won't even necessarily be intentional.
By way of action, he will cause your death within 48 hours.
Can't stress this enough. Mulder thinks aliens took his sister, and he has spent his life trying to beat up aliens and find them. If you prove to Mulder, I took your sister, he's going to make his entire career about you from then on.
Yeah.
he didn't even fucking care about the paranormal before they took his sister.
No.
Then that's all he gave a shit about.
Man.
if a bear ate his sister, he would have been a Mountie.
Yeah.
And he would have just been running around the woods shooting every bear
It would have been Grizzly Man, only he's shooting every single bear he sees.
Every single bear. Screaming, where's my sister?
Yep.
Tearing them open to try to find
ripping
his sister
inside of
them.
Each one of their stomachs to look for his sister's bones.
Yeah.
Man, yeah. don't say that to Mulder, because buddy, that's heat you don't need.
Yeah, exactly. you have complicated your life in a way that you do not want to be complicated.
Right.
Any other Mulder after dark?
It's like a fairy tale character.
Yeah. He's the monster from It Follows.
Yeah, it's like letting Rumpelstiltskin into your house.
Yeah, don't do it.
Just don't do it.
Avoid him at all costs.
Yeah,
he will leave a trail of sadness.
Yep, he's just a being of pure chaos.
Yep. Oh. All right. Any other Mulder after dark?
No, I think we pretty well covered it.
All right. I guess we should note Mulder's good at basketball. We sort of already did.
Yeah.
It's just because David Duchovny is. And I just want to note he's confidently good when he's like, sink that shot, and I'll tell you. Mulder doesn't hesitate.
Right. He just does it.
He's like, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
But let's get into fireable offenses. This is, as you can probably tell from the title, just talking about all the times Mulder should have been fired. I'll start small with the fact that, like, that kid with the car could probably sue. I don't know.
Mulder's expenses, he plays it pretty fast and loose when he's in the field. Yeah. Like, that's going to get billed to the FBI. Like, the FBI is going to have to pay for that guy's car.
It's going to be a cherry on top when Mulder's in handcuffs for letting a serial killer go loose. They're going to be like, one guy's going to be like, also, he demolished my car. He tore open my car. And they're going to be like, you fucking what, Mulder?
Yeah, he cut into my leather seat. Like I have to replace the whole seat.
Yeah.
That's hundreds of dollars.
It's not cheap.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say, you know, the whole taking a prisoner out of state and letting him go thing.
Yeah.
Seems like you might get a slap on the wrist for that.
Yeah, he would get you would go to jail. Like, yeah. Like firing is just where it begins with that.
Yeah. This was it's an absolute shit show.
Yeah. This is.
He is directly responsible for the endangerment of a little girl in this.
This is the most reckless thing he's ever done.
Yes, 100%. It might be the most reckless thing he ever does in the series.
It's close. There's a couple more that stick out in my mind that we'll have to get to.
Yeah. But like this, yeah, my fucking God. He should be in jail. This is a event. That little girl has a family who's gonna, he says, like, look, this is the least of the problems, but on a legal perspective, the teacher is like, I let her go with the FBI agent. It's my fault. And Boulder says, no, it's my fault.
Yeah.
Which in court will hold up.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, if they bring her in as a witness and she's like, yeah, he said it's my fault because it was. Like, there's no way he's not going to jail. Like, they have a very strong case against Mulder and the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a giant lawsuit. He loses his job. The FBI is sued for everything. Mulder goes into debt. And mm-hmm. that's the best case scenario.
Man, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild.
It's real bad. Like, I always think of... oh shit, Bad Blood, when the episode where Mulder actually gets sued for murdering a teenager, which we'll get to.
Yeah, we'll get to that. He stakes him in the heart.
Yeah, but like that should be the end of so many of these episodes, and this one, like the next episode of this series should be a courtroom trial, and like Mulder gets out of it because the judge is haunted or something. Like that's the only way Mulder could get out of this is like a Ghostbusters 2 scenario where the courtroom is haunted and he has to solve it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any other situation where Mulder's getting out of this.
No, yeah. It'd have to be a real Ghostbusters 2 situation where the ghosts just strike in court.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, let's name the enabler, I guess.
Oh, man. It's 100% Scully in this episode.
Yeah. There's this moment, this point of no return, where Skinner is like, I'm taking you off the case. And Scully's like, no, keep Mulder on the case.
Yeah.
And then a man dies.
Right. And then the very next thing that happens is they leave Skinner's office, and then Mulder goes and gets Roche out of jail.
Yep. Scully is... this shit would splash on Scully. Mulder would go to jail and Scully would maybe go to jail, or maybe she'd at least get fired.
Well, I mean, she and Skinner would both have to attend a series of hearings.
Yes. Their careers would be in jeopardy.
Yes.
It is bad. Yeah, yeah. Skinner, I would argue, is maybe an enabler, but Skinner doesn't know what's happening. If someone had said, no, you don't understand, Mulder's having dreams, Skinner would be like, okay.
Okay, absolutely not.
Yeah. We're not doing this.
We're not doing this today.
I'm still coming off my divorce. I'm very stressed out. We're not doing any of this. I don't have any time for this. Yeah, but Scully is holy shit. She puts, I don't know why she would put faith in Mulder. Like, I don't know why she would think this was a good idea.
No idea.
Yeah. Should we get into Crazy Like a Fox?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Let's do it.
Yeah. This is the part of the episode where we rate Mulder's behavior on a scale of 1 to 10 for just how out of goddamn control he is. 1 being he lets 0 serial killers out of jail. And 10 being he goes on like a 3 or 4 day rampage in which he lets a serial killer out of jail.
Yeah. This is a 10,
right?
This is
a 10, yeah.
like, again, folks, this is why we knew we had to make this a free episode. We've been calling this as a 10, and it is...
Yeah, for like 2 seasons ago, like when we started, we were like, what's going to be a 10? Well, Paper Hearts is definitely going to be a 10.
Definitely. This is unbelievable. like, other 10s include, like, gondola hijacking.
The gondola hijacking, this, yeah. And...
astral projection.
Yeah.
What does he do in Tunguska? Oh, he tries to leave a man in a car to die,
right,
to starve to death.
He leaves Krycek handcuffed inside a car, among other things, among starting an international incident.
Yes.
I think we retroactively decided ICE was a 10.
Yeah. Because, being held at... Being like the voice of reason, and immediately falling apart.
Right, yeah.
And being like, none of you are... you're not checking me for bugs.
None of you turn your backs on me.
I'll kill you all.
Scully! We play the clip in the opening credits.
He points his gun at his partner.
He sure does. He points his gun at everybody in that base.
But this is the only time Mulder has, and I think knowingly, risked the life of a child. Because he knows what Roche is. He sees Roche talk to a child on the plane. He knows that if Roche gets away, he's going to kill a child.
Mm-hmm. And he's not going to do it.
And Mulder is risking it.
And then he even says, like, when Scully's like, well, where do you think he'll go? Do you think he'll go out of state? And he's like, no, Roche knows he's going to get caught really soon. So he's not going to take his time. He's just going to have to kill her as quickly as possible. Just so he can get that rush that he hasn't felt in so long, you know? So, like, Mulder knows that he's going to kill somebody within hours of being set free.
And then he lets him go in his sleep. And here's the thing. They try to half-ass a supernatural explanation. Mulder does. But like we said, there's really no evidence of it. It really doesn't hold up. Mm-hmm. So what's probably happening is that Mulder just subconsciously wants a reason to shoot this man.
Yeah, because there's no... otherwise, like before... his dreams are like, like his dream showed him where a dead body was. And then like his dream showed him where to find the paper hearts. This dream that he has before letting Roche go doesn't seem to have any purpose other than ultimately allowing Mulder the opportunity to shoot him in the face.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, I want him to try to get away. I just want it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he does. I mean, there's no, again, I can't stress this enough, is there's no evidence that Roche is controlling Mulder in his dreams or incepting him. That's just Mulder's theory based on no evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And then he lets the guy go. And a little girl's life has changed. Mulder.
We base these ratings on a few things according to whether he's endangering himself, misusing his authority, or putting other people in harm's way. And this is like across the board.
Yeah, we tend to do, I think we figured this out at one point. It was like 1 through 4 is like a bizarre theories, bizarre actions.
Bizarre behavior, like, but not really hurting anything. Not putting anyone in harm, not jeopardizing any lives.
Yeah, in the middle, it's like jeopardizing the case. His own
life, his own safety. Yeah,
the 8 or 9s are like, it's not quite absolute madness, but it's something that's above and beyond. And a lot of times we figure it out as we go too. Sometimes it's just like, Jesus, that's out of control. But and then the 9s to 10s is like, you are risking the lives of others. You are endangering everyone around you. And you're an absolute madman while doing it. And that's what this is.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if... did we make Dwayne Barry a 10?
We should have.
Because Dwayne Barry is the one where he sacrifices the possible lives of hostages.
Right. He blows a hostage situation because he wants to talk to Dwayne about aliens. I think we gave it an 8 at the time, but that probably should have been a 10.
Yeah, I'll retroactively make that a 10 right now.
Yeah.
Because that's a fucking... That's a 10 behavior.
That is 10 behavior, yeah. So, this is one of the clearest 10s. We saw this blazing like a phoenix on the horizon since we started this episode. We're like, oh yeah, Paper Hearts is going to be a 10.
This season is a fucking shit show. We have, since the first one, we had Herrenvolk. That was a 9.
Mm-hmm.
And then Teleco Home and we did a couple of lows, and then we went to The Field Where I Died, which was an 8.
Mm-hmm.
Sanguinarium, which was an 8. And then Musings of a Cigarette Smoking Man. I mean, you know, he's barely in it. So that was a 2. Tunguska is a 10. Terma is a 9. And then we got another 10 here.
Yes.
He needs to be stopped.
Someone, yeah. We need to change this the title of this podcast to Fox Mulder Must Be Stopped.
Must be stopped. my God. Next week we're hitting up the Chupacabra episode.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and then we have Leonard Betts, and then folks, we have Never Again, which watch out for that. That's going to be behind our paywall, but that's going to be the one where Scully gets a tattoo and is almost killed by a man who's being told to murder people by fucking Jodie Foster.
Yeah, a talking tattoo with the voice of Jodie Foster.
Yeah. That's going to be something.
Indeed.
Yeah, and later in the season, we're going to get to the plane crash ones. We're going to get to Small Potatoes.
Oh, hell yeah.
We got a fucking season
ahead
of us.
There's a lot coming up that you're going to want to hear, so.
Yeah.
So, Dave, tell them what they can do.
I guess, yeah. All right. Folks, I told you at the top of this show is usually through our Patreon. You just got to go to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. There's a tier there that's just a podcast tier. It's one of our lower tiers. If you pick that, you get free episodes of Fox Mulder's, well, not free, but you get the exclusive episodes of Fox Mulder is a Maniac, and you get Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, which is our other show.
Indeed.
Which is exactly what it sounds like. Go check those out, you guys. And then there's tiers where we watch movies with our patrons every Friday. There's tiers where you can tell us movies to watch and we'll watch them in an episode of We Just Watched. There's a tier where you can produce your own podcast, where you can just say, here's what I want the podcast to be about. We then work with you about it, like figuring out the details, and then we make the podcast.
Yeah.
So we got a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of things, a lot of stuff. That's worth you checking out. We also have a store, tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed, where we got t-shirts, masks, stickers, mugs, posters. We got a really cool Mulder poster designed by Starlene Hodge.
It's great.
It's really great.
It's the Always Sunny Charlie meme, but Mulder.
Yeah, exactly. It's the Charlie conspiracy meme with Mulder.
Yeah.
So yeah, check that out, or not, if, you know, whatever, you live your life.
Yeah, you can live your life. You can live your goddamn life.
Mm-hmm.
Let any fucking prisoners out in your sleep.
Try not to. I mean, I want you to enjoy your Mulder day, but
enjoy
like,
your Mulder
try
day
not
sure.
to do that, if you
yeah,
can.
Try not to risk the lives of children.
Right.
Be better than Mulder.
Yeah, please abstain from releasing serial child murderers in your sleep.
Yes.
If you can.
If possible.
Yes.
Artwork for Fox Mulder is a Maniac is produced by Starlene Hodge. Follow her on Twitter at StarleneX, that's Starlene with an X, or check out her delightful webcomic at rubywhipple.com.